Welcome back. This is episode 39. I think it's 39. 39 of the Slide In Podcast.
We're like big kids now.
I'm Braden Anderson. That's Kelly Gallup.
Good evening.
Been a while since we filmed one of these.
Has it?
Yeah. Remember, I was on my deathbed.
Oh, yeah. Didn't work.
Yeah, I know. They tried to get me. Tonsils. Let's see. I was over in Ketchum for a while. Got to shout out the boys at the Peekaboo Angler. Great dudes. Talked to me a lot about Silver Creek. Didn't help at all. Did not get a fish on the duck or mice or frogs that we talked about. Got some blow-ups, but...
See Jordan's?
Yeah.
That's a huge.
Yeah, Jordan just got a great fish we put on Instagram today.
Did we?
Yep.
Maybe we should show it. That was a big one.
Yeah, that was a great one. Got that with Dan Mousen. And then, let's see what else. I don't know. What you been up to?
Working. All unlike right. Your social
yeah, right.
being.
I went to Billy Strings. That was incredible. I think half
everybody
of the...
Everybody said it was the best live music they ever saw.
He's that good. I think half the people in Montana were there.
That's cool.
I saw a lot of...
Trevor City Boy.
Fellow fish folks there. Couple things to take care of today before we really dive into it. We had a gal named Olivia send us some stickers.
Oh, yeah.
Got that on note the desk. Here. You want to read that?
Olivia is a 15-year-old. This is pretty cool, I thought, just because Olivia Strombeck. But I just liked her. The middle of her sent this really nice little letter trying to get me to buy the stickers, which I'm going to because I thought it was really cool. But only because of this line. I'm building my sticker line to save money for college and hopefully a sweet fishing truck.
Perfect.
I'm like, are you kidding me? A 15-year-old with that initial, look at all those things.
Yeah, like, they're cool stickers. Right? Yeah, I took a really photo cool. earlier. We'll throw that in.
Yeah. And we'll...
She didn't like list a website or anything.
Yes, she did. It's, I just don't know if I should give it out. She got an email, but I don't want to give out an email on there.
Well, maybe we'll put it on.
If she wasn't 15... That was the cooler part. She's 15, and maybe she'll, there's an email, but there's no,
well, we'll email her.
And she's able to take cash, check, and charge. Well, good job, Olivia. But I don't want to put your website, Olivia, call me and get us where you want it to go, or if people want to buy them, and I will, but
yeah.
I'm just freaked. Like she's got a great picture there of her holding Big Brown, and I didn't want to put, I don't know, there's too many weirdos out there.
A lot of weirdos.
Like you. But, yeah.
All right, other housekeeping stuff. We have Richard Nicoletti from Cortland coming by our shop in Ennis on the 15th, yeah. And then this shop, the Slide In, on the 16th. He's a sales director for Cortland, knows everything about their lines, everything. So if you got questions on fly lines, I mean, he's arguably more well-versed in that stuff than we are.
I would hope.
Easily argue that point. So he's a great guy to chat with, and he's going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff around the shop. So 15th and 16th of September. We've got the Wretched Mess Festival, the 5th and 6th of September. Kelly's tying Friday. We're doing a live podcast Saturday. We've blasted the hours out before, but we'll do them again. They're all kind of around noon, something like that. Let's see what else we got.
This sticker.
That sticker in particular.
I like this one.
The Net Ninja.
Net Ninja.
Net Ninja.
Like Johnny is not the Net Ninja.
Johnny is not the Net Ninja.
I'm the Net Ninja.
And then another thing, we got a DM on Instagram from, I believe, this gal's dad. But this gal, Ava Goes Wild on Instagram. Just got a 27-inch.
That was pretty cool.
27-inch monster on the white.
First time hunting big fish.
Yep. And how did the story go? Basically,
she wanted to just go hunt. She'd fish.
Well, I thought she was fishing dry flies all day.
Dries and nymphs. And she said, I just want to hunt for the one. And her dad said, you got to watch Kelly's video.
Then watch the video.
And she pops a 27 and a half. Shit, I've watched that thing. I'll go watch anybody's video if I go crack a 27 and a half. Instant, beautiful fish.
I've watched all of Kelly's videos. Yeah. I've never cracked a 27.
Kelly made all Kelly's videos.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That was cool, though.
So that was cool. We'll throw the photo up. I mean, it's a great, it's a mean looking
fish. It's a great fish.
He's a monster.
And by the way, for those who don't know, that is the thing why I do this stuff. That is for me, that is just so cool. I get a lot of that where people send in their, I don't really care about some guy who's been doing it their whole life, but you get a kid that sends a picture in, just like this Olivia, this cool thing sticker. It's really cool. I mean, it's what it should be about.
Totally.
Instead of hanging out with you.
What the?
Yeah.
That's actually fair. I wouldn't hang out with me either if I didn't have to. All right. We got a question from Robert Domico. I hope I said that right. It says, please ask Kelly what his experience has been dead drifting alewives pattern to fall run steelhead in the Great Lakes. We drift eggs and emerald shiners in the tribs when steelhead are making their runs, but the alewife being such a major forage for steelhead when they are in the, I can't read. One sec. When they're in the lakes, we want to know if he has any experience with feeding them a pattern on a dead drift in the tribs. If so, please recommend his best pattern, and we'll buy for our November trip in PA, Ohio, and New York.
What was his first name?
Rob.
Rob
Domico.
That's a lot easier than...
Domico? Yeah.
Honestly, I never dead drifted I've done a lot of fall steelhead, but I've never dead drifted a streamer like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I got thinking about it, but I mean, we did a lot of different stuff. We dead drift a lot of nymphs and stuff, and maybe even some leeches a little bit now and then, but I never did an AOI, but I read it and I went over and grabbed some of my, I couldn't find any current or the one that I did, but I don't know what video we shot or podcast. And I talked about the TNA bunker was the first kind of shaped head fly. This is one of the first, we'll get a picture of this here. I'll hold it in a minute, but for those of you that aren't watching, but the first, and it was for Russ Madden, and this is a little rainbow here. You can see it. It was the, originally we did it, and we took them all the way up to get a picture of this, how huge this is. But this is a triple, and we did it, I mean, it's really, other than when Russ did the peanut, and then I think it was him that asked about a trolling fly, but what really spawned that fly, which was, if you look at it, this is like, the dungeon gets a lot of credit for a lot of stuff, but this is the first shaped head ever where we put big profile into a fly. And so this thing had... originally, Bob Linsman and I and Jerry Dennis were fishing, and we were in the Mayo stretch on the Asabo. And Bob was the fish juggler. I know I've told this story on video somewhere. And he's always dropping fish. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
But it was good this time because he dropped one. I've got so many really cool pictures of Bob. Woo! Juggle boy. And he dropped one. It puked up a rainbow. Mm. And not rainbows here. And so we figured out they were planting this stretch. Mm. And we're supposed to know about that shit.
Right.
And then, but they were keeping it secret. And so I did this fly originally, which is kind of it's palmered hackle, and then it just stack hackle on top of it to change the color. These are beat to schnot. But then Russ wanted and so we did it for an alewife, because we lived, my shop was right on Lake Michigan, right? And so we did kind of a, these are just beat to schnot. But we kind of just took this gray version and we put a purple lateral line in it. And so not really bright purple, but just so it was kind of grayish. And we just, like on this rainbow that I just was holding up, we did the gray and then we had the flashaboo underneath it, the gray with the purple and the flashaboo underneath the purple. So it never really, it wasn't way out there, but it was the first. Actually, the second iteration of this fly was an alewife for, I believe, for Russ to troll in the Great Lakes. Mm. I'm not sure. I know he got some fish. I mounted a fish when it was giant, 28-pounder or something like that. And
Brown
I don't know if it was, huh?
Brown trout.
Total silver, Oof. Beautiful fish out of it. And they were trolling it out in Lake Michigan. I don't know if it was on that fly. It probably wasn't because Russ monetize his own shit really well. But it was the first one. But I've done a little slow retrieving drop for spring drop back steelhead, which will eat anything. They're the greatest. They just attack shit, man. It is so fun. But I've never dead drifted an alewife. And I only brought that up because that was the original intent of this fly was an alewife. Well, the first intent was the rainbow, and then that alewife, because that's the Great Lakes. That's probably, the alewives are why there are salmon in the Great Lakes, because they tried to eradicate the alewives with predators. And so I can't answer your question as far as I have no experience in dead drifting one.
So theoretically, how would you dead drift a streamer like that?
Well, I'm curious. I don't know. I mean, they might be tight lining them, or they might be swinging them. I mean, we swung obviously lots of them, but this is another case where I wish I was as well versed as I should be. But it's just like the Zoo Cougar. One of my first, the guys from the Dowagiac, St. Joe Fly Fishers. A guy bought a bunch of them, like three dozen. And three dozen in the old days was a lot of flies.
Three dozen cougars?
Yeah. And I said, what the hell are you doing? He goes, oh, it's our number one steelhead fly. I've never thrown my own fly for a steelhead. I've been a steelhead guide since I was a kid. And I was like, what? I just didn't, right? Uh-huh. And I get that a lot. Somebody will tell me that, oh, we do it like this. When you say you're dead drifting to me, dead drift's a dead drift, right? It's not right. It's not on a head. I mean, it's they might be kind of nymphing them, maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know. But I'd love to hear how you do. But if you, and I've got a video on tying that TNA bunker. It's super simple. It's just marabou, 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 right? But and then the stacked head. And I think one of these, I don't think I took the wrong one. But there was a point. If you're watching, these things got big doll eyes. And I don't know what it was. All those clear goo eyes started, and then there was the other one. All these. I still dig the doll eyes.
Yeah, like the...
And they actually...
Googly eyes, right?
Rattle, right? Which I don't think means shit, but somebody told me, goes, I think they eat it because they rattle the eyes. But I know when they hit it after a while, that there's a video on it where I think it was the original version where I did with the doll eyes. I still dig the doll eyes. Mm-hmm. I don't, even though the other ones are cooler looking, I don't know. I just
kind of like those. They're kind of funny, kind of classic. And
if you could dead drift this, I don't know if they're talking about under a bobber, if they're doing it just tight, but it would undulate. It would do it. Like you just let it, because on this gray, this triple, I use that on the white a lot, but I use the brown trout color. And my two favorite eats on that river ever is on that fly, on the brown trout one, period. It was just the most god-awful, intense, predatory thing. Everybody just kind of just annihilated it, right? And that's a 6-inch fly, but it was, the one was on a total, it was a stall.
Yeah.
So not a dead drift, but it's a stall where came off of a wood pile and ripping pretty hot off the bank, about 3 foot, and there's a wood pile, and then it drops off on a ledge, and I just killed it. And it got caught sideways and turned this big, arc into the fly, and all of a sudden this freaking monster just comes out of nowhere. And seen his face open up. It looked like his head was 20 inches long. His face opened up. Oh, I just inhaled a 6-inch fly. It was gone. It was the coolest shit you ever saw in your life. Sun, perfect sun's coming down off over my shoulder, and it just hitting, and the water's off color just a little bit, which is like this solid beam all over this copper that's reflecting this flash of moon on the side. And then this coppery gold giant brown trout just annihilates it. And it was on a total dead drift, or total stall, not a dead drift. So can't answer it, but I can see how, especially in the smaller version, you could maybe tap it now and then to, I don't know. I wish I had a good answer for you, but I can't wait to hear how you do it.
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love to hear. So Rob, right? Rob, if you watch this, send us an email, give us a little description. You don't have to give away all your secrets, but, Yeah, I'm curious if you, you know, put split shot on the head of it. I mean, that's that one is an unweighted fly, I'm sure.
Yeah,
it
and
ties them
and weighted. It doesn't drop.
Yeah,
it, I mean, it does not drop. It's very buoyant. It's kind of like, you know, game changers. It's kind of like how we used to do that, where we just wrap marabou. It's always
just palmering it.
Well, you do a tail, you palmer one, and then you drop a stack above it to two-tone it.
Yep.
But then you keep palmering for it. There's three palmers in the back, three in the front, but you got a stack on top of it.
Yeah.
And so,
so
the,
you build the bulk
so
on
it
the
just
top.
Kinda yeah, and I always strip it. I kept them pretty light. The commercial ones might be a little heavier than I would do, but they undulate. They just and you get the flash view on the lateral side, and it just comes out. It's really lost its way. I don't know if we even sell many of them anymore, but
we might. I'm not sure I've ever fished one.
There was a point where Johnny's number one fly back in the day, green and white bunker.
Yeah,
that was his go-to bug. He's still got tons of them with him, but it's like everything, you know, out comes a game changer or D&D or a whatever.
Cooler, flashier.
Yeah, I mean, just whatever. In any kind of, you know, I've got lots of flies. When I went and looked at that box, there's 50, you know, my storage boxes.
Yeah.
There's 50 of them in there, and they're like brand new. It's like, I forget them too.
Yeah.
It's like, and I've been on the river the last, last three, four, when Jerry and I were fishing a lot. And I kept thinking, shit, TNA, bunker, green and white. Because that was, and it's the barely legal. It's just an offshoot of that.
Yeah.
We just made it thinner.
I don't think I've seen you fish one of those since we were down in Chile and you were throwing that copper over.
That's my fave.
Yeah. I've got a couple of those that you gave me. I've thrown those, but yeah.
And you know, other than when these giant fish are around, and I'm not even sure that would be as important, I kind of lean towards the standard, you know, how long is this thing?
3.5.
Probably.
Trust me.
I got my little measure thing. Oh, by the way, they're 4 inches to the tip of that stuff.
Big, some
there's about 100 jokes that could have just flown right there. Whoever, somebody was in the shop. You know, I've got this MFC thing out here, and I hated this thing. I absolutely hated it. I always had it around like this. I don't know who was in the shop. I can't remember. I know it was a guy and a gal, husband and wife. And he said, "How do you like that thing?" Well, I said, "I like some parts, but I can't see shit because my focal point is always over here." He goes, "Why don't you turn it around?" And I'm like, "Oh shit, I love this thing." So I shit me up a time with this thing for 3 years or something.
Yeah,
and I got this giant white background. Ugh, simple.
Simple.
But it was just, I think it was his wife, and she said, "Well, why don't you flip it around?"
Did she call you an idiot, or is it just implied in her tone?
Just a look. I'm pretty used to that from women giving me that look. Yeah.
Turn it around, you idiot.
That's why I'm so tired today.
Mel
gave me that look, and I was up all night going, "Oh, what'd I do now?"
Okay, I got another question. This is a short one, but it made me laugh. One of the better DMs I've ever gotten. This guy reached out to me on Instagram. It's funny font. I can't really... I think his name's Leanderson. Hard saying. He said, "Sup, Braden. I'm currently writing an EP for my deathcore band. And I was wondering
What's
if...
What's an EP?
That's a really good question. It's music.
Good.
It's like an album.
Okay, it's cool.
I don't know what it stands for.
As long as you don't know
it's an album.
An EP is not good with
something... I don't know.
Good.
But it's an album, I think. Close enough. He said, "I'm writing an EP for my deathcore band, and I was wondering if you guys would be okay with me sampling a section of the podcast in one of the songs. I want to use a clip from his rant about that steelhead douche nozzle, and in the spirit of not being an ass myself, I just wanted to ask." So this is him asking.
I don't know what he's asking.
He wants to use a clip of you ranting about the steelhead douche nozzle to open one of his songs.
Yeah, great. That'd be funny.
I think if it goes well, we might have to change our opening music to his deathcore song.
First of all, I got to see if it's like that. What's your chain guy?
Yeah, Allison Chains. I don't see. I think that's grunge. Right. Deathcore sounds more screamy to me, but it might be kind of funny.
That might not be up Kelly's alley.
I don't know. We'll see.
As far as it going to ours, I don't care what he does. But
yeah. Go ahead and use it.
It'd be fun.
I'm sorry.
We might play it even if I hate the music.
We'll play it.
It's a different genre for everybody.
Yeah.
Hundreds probably. What was the thing? Douche nozzle.
Yeah,
steelhead
douche nozzle made me chuckle.
That will not be a fly in the future. Look at that wind out back. That's a 60. It's like,
woof.
Wow. You could have a tree down here in a minute.
Well, Scotty's
right. Sorry for anybody that's out fishing right now. I walked over, it was dead calm, and just looked out. Easy 60 mile an hour wind howling out there a second ago. Couldn't even see the trees for a second. It was all dirt.
I got stuck in that yesterday. We floated down by Ennis.
I got stuck in that fire.
Did you? Yeah, we saw all those strikes come down and immediately plumes up.
It went across Norris Pass.
Yeah.
Hill.
Yeah.
There's like four cars behind us, and they let us go through to go to Bozo, and then we had to go through Yellowstone to get home.
To get back, yeah. I guess you might not have ran into them, but Chuck and everybody got stuck over there trying to come back this way. Yeah, we were out floating. It was 95 degrees and gorgeous all day.
Yeah.
We're just sitting in the water. We weren't really fishing too hard. Strings had me hurting. Mm. But, yeah, then all of a sudden it's hail. It's blowing like
crazy.
Yeah,
we got that
lightning
too,
everywhere.
Fires. Fires. We've had a bunch of fires out here.
Three, like, pretty significant fires around here. And
yeah, they're all grass fires.
4 or 5 days?
Yeah, they're going to evacuate us. They evacuated Jordan and Dan.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I didn't think it could jump the river, so.
No. But the one that one on the other side of Ennis looks like a real one.
That's where we were.
Yeah.
That's up on South Meadow.
Yeah.
Well, a little, kind of, way up high, but.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a timber fire.
Has there been, since you've been here, has there been more fires this close?
Oh, yeah. We had one 2 years ago, the timber fire up on Cliff Lake and all that. We've had them all over.
Not sure where I was.
It's Montana.
Probably fishing.
Yes.
All right, let's go to a question from eSwanee1313.
This can't be fat ass.
I don't know. His first name's Eric, right?
Swanee?
Yeah.
No.
No. What's his name?
We don't want to use it in public, do we?
Okay.
Steve.
Nope. Oh, yeah, this is probably not him then.
Good.
All
okay.
Right. This is somebody else. Hopefully not related.
His family's all cool. It's just him.
Oh, gotcha. He's all right. Kelly Braden, I watch the show every week and learn a megaton from the stories and expertise. Lately, I've been getting my butt kicked on a cosmic level. Countless lost fish, a broken everything, a million lost flies. Fish and river just punching me in the face, etc. Feel I have done everything to change the mojo, maybe, but not much luck. What are some of the worst days you've had on the water? Have you kept your resilience? Your resilience and stamina in the sport industry? Even legends have bad days, slumps, maybe. Thanks for the help getting out of the rut. So, there's a old tradition that major league ball players would do when they were in.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about
that. If you know what the slump buster is.
We're not going to
try that. I don't know.
I hear that.
Here's the hail.
Well, first of all, I just thought about what you said, cosmic. We're doing an expansion on the new shop. We're going to have a second floor where we're going to have all this stuff and beer and coffee. Cosmic level. That could be the second level.
The cosmic
I like that.
Level.
The cosmic level. Okay. Well, answering your question, as far as slumps and keeping, first and foremost, for those of you who don't know, no one catches fish all the time. All you got to do is go fish with me with a camera, and you'll see that it becomes virtually. When you don't fish stock or popper water, and you don't fish stocked lakes, and you go fish wild fish, everybody gets their ass kicked. And I don't care what dumbass writes in. I get them all the time. I'm 10 times better than you. Big deal. Cool. There's a lot of people 10 times better than me. But nobody has the code. You want to see the code get broke. Go with the dumbass who says they are the best in the world and watch them go fishless. It's just what it is. So how I keep my nobody can keep it constantly. You go on a 5-day hunt and everything goes wrong for 5 days, and we've had those.
Yes.
If you're worth a shit, you learn from it, but there's only so much you can garner from a fishless day.
Right.
Like, you can do all your barometric pressures and your temps and your water flows and your water temps and major minors and all that kind of shit, and I've used this reference so many times about bass fishermen because I am so impressed with the professional bass angling world, and they're so good. And yet, in a tournament that is going to go from 100,000 to 300,000 in earnings, like 300 for first and 125 or 50 for second, and they win by 13 ounces, which was a stat they gave once on a show that was the average, which tells you that it's no one can always break the code. I fished with Howard Crosston a lot this year, and you know, Howard's come in and said, "Oh shit, got my ass kicked." I mean, with us, we got our asses kicked. Got our asses kicked. We 100 yards before we got a fish from the land, before we got a fish. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's as good as the world gets. You don't get better.
He's
than
literally
that.
Number one. He's got a trophy to prove it.
Not any longer. Yeah, I have his freaking trophy if that piece of shit doesn't send it. You better. It's going to be hanging right there, too, right out in front of that brown trout. But no one, you know, as far as answering the question, how do you keep your motivation? It's a learning tool. You don't, you know, as they say, you don't learn on the top. You know, it's in the valley when you're getting your ass kicked and you just keep dredging. And finally, you keep changing. All you can do is, you know, you just keep learning every second you can, but everybody gets their ass kicked. And I mean, you really want to see that become a guide.
Yeah.
You know, every guide thinks they're, you know, really, really good because they can go catch fish, but now can you make somebody else catch fish? That becomes a great learning tool. Right. When when we all go fishing, there's just so high you can get in any sport. Right. Unless you watched Scottie Scheffler today. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I saw he won. Right.
Again. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was like nine out two days ago. The guy does like an 80-foot chip, poof, holds it. And it's like, oh, my God. But that guy started somewhere, too. You know, and if you watch, I'm not a golfer, but I'm sure impressed with that. But if you watch these people, you know, you learn. It's just like everybody has bad day. The guy who was winning that tournament was like six over. I mean, six under. I mean, and everybody else, and it just went like that. And it's not quite the same thing because you're not dealing with a living organism. But everyone has to learn. You just keep breaking the variables down, and you can't get all whiny. And, you know, I've brought this up 1,000 times with Johnny. Johnny's the best guy I've ever seen in my life. You know, not very good looking, but he's a nice guy. But Johnny's enthusiasm in the thralls of defeat is the same as it started that morning.
It is insane.
It's stupid.
Almost frustrating.
13 hours, freezing. Haven't had an eat all day. Johnny, let's get off this freaking river. I'm dying. Could be the greatest day of our life. It just takes one. And he's right. You know, it's perseverance.
Just takes
one. But it's those hard times. You know, when it's good, you don't learn shit. You just don't. You just enjoy that moment. And you're like, woo, I'm the best in the world. And tomorrow camera comes out. And I can't tell you in the last 35 years of filming how often you go the day before and you annihilate it. And you bring that camera out and it's like done.
Every time we fish with Johnny.
Yeah, it's just what...
He's like, we're going to smoke him. We've been cranking huge fish the entire time and then we get out there.
Well, and it's just the same when you're guiding. Yeah. You know, one thing you never do is say, yesterday was great. Because there's very seldom you get two in a row like that stuff. But just to keep yourself going, I don't know what to tell you. You just got to have that desire to figure out little tiny pieces. When you see great guides, they weren't born great guides. They weren't born. Andy Mill wasn't born a great tarpon fisherman. Right. Did 25 years of just intense ass kicking. Ass kickings help you because you say, okay, what I did this today and this weather. You know, this, everything, you take all the variables that come into play and you just, I personally kept logs all my life. And I mean, not all my life, but for 26 years, I kept logs. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, and I'd ask you or Johnny or whomever. And so, how'd you do? Oh, I crushed it on this. And it's like, shit, cinnamon, you know, ant, whatever, missed that one or whatever it is, right? Yeah. Or I went into this blue phase and I just crushed them in this funky light. And it's like, you just keep notes and you, It's all it is. All any of this shit is databasing memories. It's like that worked on this day, on this temperature, in this river, in this color water, you know, and whatever, the more variables you can add up and coalesce into a little tiny group for the morning, and you say, just like Johnny. Johnny doesn't go kind of. He goes, oh, yeah, back in 2008, in May 23rd, you know, and we really crushed him on this, right? And he's not making it up.
No.
He's got that memory. I write them all down, and then you got to, I really, and for people, it's kind of a lost thing, I think. You know, they used to sell journals. I have one in here that a guy, Tom Noms, gave me. And it was really cool for me because in the old days, we had seasons, right? And in the winter, you'd sit and flip through these.
Yeah.
And you'd write notes on notes, right? You'd say, oh, wow, this did that. And Walt Grau kicked my ass today on in this run on that, you know, which is about every day I fished for a wall. It's like, damn it. But it was like, you know, you just keep trying to database that. And then you got to take it from one point. It really scares me that this AI bullshit's going to come along. We're going to have all this stuff just push it in and everything will be
answered
for it.
How do I catch a fish?
Yeah. It'll take all that stuff that you used to have to remember and tell you the answer, which might suck.
But you know what it can't do? Can't control the fish. Yeah.
No, but it can give you every variable on earth that you're...
But even then, like what he's saying, you know, the mental aspect of getting your butt kicked and trying to get out of that slump, like something you mentioned earlier made me think of it was, you know, rarely do you have two incredible days in a row. Well, I kind of use that thinking to
regardless,
me to go
by
out.
The way, of where you are in the world.
Yes. Yeah, anywhere.
You can be
anywhere.
Up on the Tree River hunting for, you know, Arctic char, and you aren't going to have five straight days.
Right.
I don't care how much you spend, how great your guide is, but it's a variable.
So I use that as a mental trick sometimes when I do get my ass kicked one day. I go, well, they didn't eat it today, but they have to eat at some point.
Yeah.
So maybe tomorrow they'll.
Yeah, well, that's it.
It's just motivation to get back out there,
yeah,
you know?
You've got to keep it. You can't get depressed over. I mean, if I had 20 straight days, I might get depressed and say, screw this sport. But I mean, yeah, I get that. But, you know, I would encourage anybody in that realm. That's why I watch bass. I talk about it all the time. I love watching bass shows. Mm-hmm. I just watch what they do. I listen to what they say. It has nothing to do. In particular, largemouth have very little to do with what trout do. You watch smallmouth, they're just trout without spots. Their reactionary things are the same. Their setups are almost identical where they're hitting in the water and river fish. And it's like, and you can go through. I have done so many colors of flies off of soft plastics because the trigger's the trigger.
Right.
I mean, including some smallmouth flies that were coming off of really sluggo colors way back, you know, 30 years ago, and started putting them into flies. And it's just everything you can do, no matter what it is. It doesn't matter if you hunt muskies or pike aren't so much. Muskies are a little more, I don't know.
Finicky.
Yeah. And a piker can be a little bit, not much. They can all be weird, but I mean, it's just continuous database and or including bluegills. Somebody asked me last week about, they were learning to fish. It was I forgot your name. Big guy, military guy. And he's down in Florida. And I told him I'd come fish reds with him. I said, you know, and he was trying to learn to cast. Giant guy. I'll think of it maybe. Probably won't. But anyway, he's a great guy. Him and his dad were in and some of their buddies. And I said, the best thing you can do is fish bluegills. Spawning bluegills is the best learning tool on earth because you get a target and they eat perfectly. They eat. Timing's got to be right, you know. And so you get to learn and learn, but you can even learn shit off of bluegills.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what you do, if you bring it together. But I think the biggest thing, and I mean, honestly, I think, and it's same with the tying flies. I keep journals on flies, you know, I always have. And just the more you can put into that, and don't take the ass kicking as a defeat, just take it, you know. If you've ever been in a ring of any sort fighting, you don't win constantly.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot of head injuries to learn how to slip a punch.
Is that why you're this way?
You know, just like, but I mean, that's in there, you're actually taking a freaking physical beating.
Right.
And you're somehow come out enjoying that.
Right.
Well, you got to do that with this too. You got to take your beating and just keep adding the pieces of the puzzle together. You know, don't give up. And for, I don't know how many thousand stories I've heard from anglers who just, and frequently on these incredible destination trips, just getting my ass kicked. And he says, just went through it. Doc Ellis was the best at that. He just go. And then all of a sudden, boom, payday.
Yep.
You know, unlike the gal who got the 27, which I wish it worked that quickly, that easy.
Right. Yeah.
But,
yeah, watch, you know, Kelly just, video, catch 27.
Yeah. Oof, that was impressive. But, you know, just persevere. That's all. There's a great line in Josie Wales. And the chief says to him, the great white chief told us, endeavor to persevere. Josie Wales, if you haven't watched it, watch it.
I haven't.
It's mandatory here.
It sounds like I got homework tonight. Yes. Okay, so I want to hit another part of the same question from Ishwani. You know, asked basically the worst days we've had on the water. And when I was thinking about this, I haven't had a lot of like bad days on the water. No boat flips yet, anything like that. The worst,
you know,
day,
the same for that, right?
There are those that have and those that will.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. No, it's, well, shit, when I bought my drift boat, the very first day, I remember, I don't know if I've told this story before, but I was buying it from a couple up in Bozeman. They wouldn't take Venmo because they didn't trust the internet. So I had to come down back here. I didn't have a bank here. You know, my bank was in Seattle. And I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And Kelly goes, well, how much you need? And I tell him, it's a used drift boat, by the way, not a brand new one. But he goes, well, I think I've got that money over at my house. I keep finding wads of bills I tucked away when Obama got elected.
$28,000.
Yeah, sure. So sure enough, Kelly comes back over.
Yes.
Whatever, I buy the boat. And then the very first day I put it in at Lions Bridge, I'm going with Matt and Jordan. I make it about 200 feet and I park it on a rock. I just wasn't looking, watching them fish. And Jordan jumps out of the boat and pushes the boat off the rock. I just turned and looked at her. I was like, Jordan, I think I owe you my boat.
Yes.
I didn't. But
girl saves boat.
So that she, you know, she saved my boat. That could have been a bad day. But the worst day I can think of I had on the water was with Chuck on the 4th of July. And we double floated. I left a raincoat in my car at the takeout. And it's genius. The 4th of July, but it's 55 degrees and raining sideways. Johnny took a picture of me wearing a poncho and showed everybody that would look. and I think that day Chuck got three fish over 20 and probably boated close to 20 plus nice, like quality brown trout. And I must have gone 0 for 40. I did not land a fish. And I had a lot eat. I had a lot push on it. I had this little problem I was working on where whenever a fish opened their mouth, I pulled the fly out as quick as possible. So that was a bad day for me. And truth be told, I just haven't really gotten any better. So I don't know what I've learned from that, but that was a tough day on the water for me.
You can't get better from flukes like that. There's just, you can't. I mean, you just, it's your day.
It was my day to have a bad day.
The windshield or the bug and all that kind of shit.
Chuck was the hero. Yeah.
It happens. I had a day with Jerry and Jerry Wilson and Jerry Dennis. We talked, Jerry just left yesterday. And Jerry Wilson was rowing. I'm in the back of the boat. I was in the front of the boat. We switched because my ego was, we switched, but it didn't, that made it worse. And I was afraid of it too. Mm-hmm. It was Jerry and I were fishing the Manistee and we're using the same fly, white number two Wooly Sculpin. And I would throw in and Jerry would throw in and our flies would hit because we're just kind of banking, you know, structures and stuff. And my fly would hit, his fly would hit. Fish would come out on my fly, turn off my fly and go to his. And I don't mean once or twice. I'm talking like 16, 18 times. And they're quality fish.
Yeah.
These are real fish. This is back before anybody's playing the streamer game. This is pre-book. This is the experimental zones when we're trying to figure out what they'll do. And so we swapped ends and the same freaking thing happened. And Jerry's doing, you know, the same retrieves I am. Oh, and God. Our flies are swimming away like it's just identical.
Yeah.
And so It's like we went to the wrong side of the freaking equator. Because all of a sudden, as soon as he got in the back of the boat, they started chasing upstream. And I'm like, and then I finally just said, I'm rowing.
Yeah.
I knew it was my day. I'm getting my ass kicked. It didn't matter what. I could have tipped with a night crawler. I'm not going to catch a fish.
Right.
Just happens. And you just got to, you know, you watch team bass fishing, and you'll watch this, where one team's just, one guy in the boat is crushing, and the guy in the front or back, or I watched it just MLF team, I watched it 2 weeks ago, I can't remember, Skeet Reese and somebody else, and one guy, they're fishing the same 5 foot of water.
Yeah.
They're right beside each other in the front of a freaking bass boat,
one guy is
smoking it. And I don't remember which guy went, like, maybe I'll just sit back here and watch.
Just watch. Get his aid to be happy.
And he would get
friend.
Fish on, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And they just pop off.
Yeah.
And these guys don't pop fish off. It just doesn't happen. Pow. Oh, my shit. You know, what do you do? Well, you just look forward to that Coors Light.
Or a couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Other just brutal days. I mean, at a certain point, there's a mindset that you have to adopt when you are getting your ass kicked. And, you know, you could be in war. You could be living in Russia.
Yeah.
I don't want them to come after me. You got to remember you're out there fishing. And, like, your worst day on the water can't be that bad. Well,
it can if you get all ass hurt and stuff.
Yes.
But if you're there, if you will just start looking at your water,
you're with friends. I mean just.
Even if you're by yourself.
Yeah.
Look at the water. Learn something while you're there, doesn't it? Because it's, no matter what you do, and you do that pouty shit. I haven't fished with them ever. I will never fish with somebody who pouts.
No.
I get a pouter, and I've had one guy in particular that I really liked fishing with him until he had a pout day. And I said, no, I will not tolerate this. I'm not, and I just never fished with him again, ever.
Yeah.
I didn't guide him again either. Mm-hmm. And just don't. Just, you know, take your ass kicking and just keep, learn one thing. Look at a hydraulic. Go, you can't catch a damn fish, start running flies through hydraulics to see how they, you want a dead drift one? Dead drifter. Go over and learn something. Stand behind a rock to see what it does on your legs to feel the hydraulics. And you can figure out something, anything.
Go look for bugs, something.
Whatever. I mean, do something to change it, or just go home and tie a fly. But don't. Don't be beat up by it. I mean, when you're in my position, and I've been in it here for so long behind a camera, people always tell you that you catch them all. I don't know how many thousand times people have said to me, well, you catch those big fish all the time. And I look at them like, are you kidding me? I mean, that 1 year, it was 2.5 years without a fish over 2 foot.
Yeah.
I'm hunting some of the bitches. I mean, I'm supposed to know what I'm doing. It doesn't matter. And I have people in the boat, pop them right underneath me, right?
Yep.
I mean, it just happens. You just got to, you know, put a stamp on it and move on.
Okay, this is a question, maybe a comment from M. Thompson. I'm curious if you know anything about this, Kelly. He says, most people don't know the real reason grasshoppers and Jerusalem crickets, some beetles, etc., go to water. There's a parasite called a horsehair worm that actually hijacks the host's nervous system and makes them travel and jump into water. The adult horsehair worms emerge out of the insect's host in the water because they have to lay their eggs in water for their pre-parasitic larvae to live in.
Sounds way too smart for me. And I've never heard of it.
I've seen it with praying mantis. I think it's the same or it's a similar parasite that I just saw some study. I saw some study. It was an Instagram video talking about the study, but
the new studies.
Yes, the new studies. Yes, I read an article that said something like 90% of praying mantis in the wild have this parasite in them that forces them to go to water. It's the same thing, and it is disgusting when those things crawl out of them.
I want to go read about this now. You know, there's a lot of talk, like when it gets windy, they get blown in, which is not true. They got claspers and hang on pretty tight. But there's all these old wives' tale, but I don't, I'm not really sure I've ever seen a mass exodus of bugs from the jumping in the water.
Yeah.
You know, they're so, I mean, unless you're in an agricultural mowing zone, to see lots of hoppers. I've seen it a couple of times on the bighorn where they just seem to be a disproportionate amount of them on the water, mm-hmm. and there's no mowing and no wind or no nothing.
Right.
And I remember reading something about hoppers and wind and how they claspers and they lock up on the grass and they don't get blown in. They get blown in, they'll just be flying and whatever, get a little gust, not a huge wind. But it makes more sense that you just don't see, and ants, you know, the only time I see ants on the water in big numbers are generally flight ants, and they're recolonizing. Mm-hmm. You know, they have to fly, and they kind of land on the water. They don't land, they crash.
Yeah.
You know, and they're almost always female, so. And then you'll see whole flights where they'll, like, you get down, like, down by Ruby, I've seen a lot of that, where the sky just gets glittery. I mean, just freaking glittery. It's in their wings, right? It's always sunny days. And tons of them hit the water, but most of them hit the shore. You know, they hit the ground. That's fascinating. I can't, I'm going to go read about it tonight. I'll give me something to read about. So I don't know. I think it's a great, I mean, I just don't see, or have I ever anywhere seen really heavy concentrations of terrestrials touching ants would be the only, I'd be more inclined to see this on an ant because you see massive ant flights on lakes. Mm-hmm. And on the river. I mean, the other night when I was down there, I couldn't buy a fish on anything but a 20 black ant. They were all over me, biting the shit out of me.
Yeah.
They're all over the shore. They're flying into your head. And they were all 20s. And man, the trout were totally locked on them. Mm-hmm. And, but I don't, maybe they were heading to the water. I don't know. It's great. This is something new. That's how you get out of slumps. And you can go read all about this. You come up with some fly that's got freaking parasites crawling on.
Yeah, parasites crawling
on. How are we gonna yeah. make the fly? That's immediately what I was thinking. Now, how are we gonna have something that looks like parasites crawling?
Have you seen images of what these things look like? If it's the same kind of parasites, I'm thinking.
Was there a good looking parasite? Because I haven't dated one.
Oh,
I've dated a lot of them that were. I gotta go.
We were talking about the parasites you dated.
Married, dated, lived with, thrown out by.
Okay, this next. Well, we'll move on. And here's a question from my favorite Tight Lines Northwest. He said, if I gave a shit, I might be offended. You can call me Jason if it feels dirty to say tight lines. I don't like when people say tight lines. It's just a thing I've got.
Oh, yeah, and that's
not everyone. So he says, he pays us some nice compliments, and then. You know, he...
Thank you.
thank you, Jason, / tight lines. He says he fished a tributary of a river I used to fish. But the question is basically, do you find that smaller fish in smaller water behave similarly to larger fish in bigger water? Can it be as simple as just downsizing larger river tactics? Keeping in mind, I'm mostly chasing cutthroat and rainbows in my local waters. And I was thinking about this in terms of streamer fishing. Like when, and Chris was the one who got me doing this.
Is the inference that the small stream has small fish, or are they juvenile
fish?
Yes,
yeah. Where I think he's talking about, they just don't get bigger fish in that kind of water.
Right.
In central Washington. And so, you know, I was thinking about this in reference to kind of fishing some places in Wyoming and Montana that I have, and Chris, our shipping manager, always told me, you know, go throw hoppers as much as you want. It's really fun to go throw little sparkle minnows in there, and every fish in the river tries to eat them. So in that case, I think, yeah, you know, there are, like, those little fish can still act like predators in terms of streamers, but what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I mean, I'm still trying to wrap my head around the kind of the inference to the thing is that I don't, you know, generally small streams, small fish is equated to lack of food. And I mean, they still have the growing season, blah, blah, blah. But I don't believe any trout, for that matter, bass and all predatory fish, I think they just, they act pretty much the same, no matter. I mean, a juvenile fish, a 10-inch brook trout, is so aggressive to anything.
Unbelievably
aggressive.
And is it
because they're aggressive, or is it because they have a short season?
Right.
And so I do exactly what Chris says. I particularly love little mini muddlers, mini marabou muddlers, mm-hmm. and small cricks. But they're aggressive to, they act like a big fish. And I think, you know, mostly it's that in little cricks, you don't have that many big fish. Right. But for the people like you and Chris who go fish them how they should, you find there's more big fish than you thought.
There's more big fish in those places than people think.
Yeah. And it's like, they're there, but, and people tend to get pretty pigeonholed on small water. Mm-hmm. They just don't. One of the first guys that I saw, Andy Sabota, who's this incredible angler and tire and all that, and he used to fish these cricks, and he would run leech stuff bigger than the average, and he'd run them downstream at the banks and pull these just massive fish out of cricks this big, right?
Yeah.
But they were just fish acting like fish, right?
Yep.
We tend to, at least from my perspective, what I see people around, they tend to dumb it down on a crick. They'll dumb it down. They'll put on a Royal Coachman or a Humpy or whatever traditional, and they'll go and just, they tend to fish them for fun, for like little fish, and are always amazed when they get a big one.
Right.
It's kind of one of the cricks up here. I mean, it's got lots of 16, 18-inch fish in it, but when you go throw the same, and the only ones I've ever got have always been on that little mini muddler, mm-hmm. and they just act like a trout, but I think usually it's that you're adapting your technique to what you think those little cricks will do. And you guys run some pretty big flies on small cricks.
Yeah, I've ran some pretty big bugs in pretty small water and
found
some pretty
giant
fish doing it. Yeah. I remember one creek in particular. It was even surprising to a couple of the other slide guys when I finally told them where I got this fish, but it was an absolute brute of a 22, and I got it on a slick willy in a tiny piece of water that
where no one would throw it.
Nobody thinks, and you know, you can see fish in there, and everything you see is 6 to 10 inches.
Yeah,
but if there's a lot of those,
see the real,
that's
something's
food.
Getting eaten.
That's food.
And I, you know, that comes down to that same thing about I've said so many times about every fly shop I've ever been in every country. In every state in the union has told me, including the Madison, they don't eat those here.
Yep.
And so you're already pigeonholed into a way of thinking. Every country I've ever been in, I've been told that, including mm-hmm. Alaska.
Right.
Not a country, but I mean, it was told.
Kinda.
They don't eat it.
Big enough.
I mean, the White River, I was told repetitively they don't eat streamers here by some really great anglers, right? The bottom line is people adapt a system that they know will give them success, and they don't break that mold.
Yep.
And I mean, I know people.
That's what we're talking about with the bighorn.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh my God.
Salbug and a Pertagon.
Jesus. Well, Pertagon's new.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that I think people just fail to. I think that was the shift in modern streamers. One is that we did something different, and all mm-hmm. of a sudden, and it's working, right? And they were like, "Holy shit, they're eating these huge flies! Huge fly was a 2.5-incher, mm-hmm. right? 3 maybe." And we just don't. People just part of that is just economy. It's like I got X days I get to fish. Mm-hmm. I don't want to go do that. And you know, you can go through a little. You know, Royal Coachman and get 6, 8, 10-inch brook trout to eat it all day. Right. And you're, you know, being rewarded to go out and say, well, I'm going to go try throwing a little mini sparkle minnow or a little mini Dalai Lama, whatever you're going to do. I got to learn something new.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, well, then all of a sudden you get this huge fish, right? And you're like, oh, I didn't know they were here. So it's probably more, I don't think it's the fish are different. I think it's that your systems aren't, We just aren't creatures of change.
Yeah.
People don't, I mean, in particular, when you're talking about people that get to fish, it's the average angler, like all your gear and all that stuff is, it's rated for a person who fishes 15 days a year.
Yeah.
Because that's the average angler's daylight. When we put 150, 250 a day on a year, suddenly it gets a little easier to say, let's change it up. Mm-hmm. Or like you guys fish together in groups so much.
Yep.
Nobody fishes the same shit. Everybody's doing something different. Mm-hmm. And everybody gets back and says, hey, have you ever tried this? Like with that slick willy eater.
Yeah.
I guarantee you in that creek, no one has thrown a fly over 4 inches long ever in history.
I've never seen anyone fish it before.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're talking about the same place.
Well, we'll just pretend we are.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't matter. Just like down on Silver Creek.
Yep.
Where, you know, when I was down there with Bill Devane 20 some years ago, I walked into the shop, too bad they don't eat streamers here. I have the same response to everyone in the world. You're right.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Wouldn't want to even try it.
Yeah, you ever gone out at night there and you hear just thrashing in the water? I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
No,
you don't.
They're probably not eating meat.
But it's just the right kind of right back to that whole shit we were talking about before about getting your ass kicked. You know, go do something different.
Yeah.
And but I don't think the trout are different. I don't. I have video, not video, I have photographs of, in the slide, in the streamer thing, when we do that, I have photographs of fry eating fry. I have a fry with another fry down its throat, and I have it in sequences from fry to pre-par, par, all the way up to 30, 40-inch trout with 20-inch trout in their mouth. But that starts, they're fry. They don't eat meat.
No.
And they're plankton eaters, and they ate each other. I mean, the guy ate the freaking, I mean, it's not, they didn't swim into his mouth. They didn't fall on the lampshade.
That's no accident. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, holy shit, he did it, right? And so they're just trout. Just, you know, let them be trout.
Do you think the inverse of what you said earlier about, you know, people fish a big river and then they go to small water and they completely change their tactics because they're now fishing small water. Do you think that people also tend to overcomplicate big water at times because it's big water? Like,
yes.
You know, and like I grew up fishing small creeks, right? All I did, I knew three dry flies, just the classics, right? And then I'd go to a big river and I'd set up a nymph rig and I'm here. I have to do this certain way. Instead of, you know, fishing those classics can still work. Think about the guys who fish classics on the Madison.
Yeah, I mean, I was just thinking about how we tell people on this river in particular, or at least it's kind of my mantra here, is I tell everybody the river's 10 feet wide.
Yeah.
And the rest is scenic value. And so there's a few, you know, there's a few limitations where if you're in a creek that's 12 inches deep, it's going to be a little harder to, you know, nymph it.
Right.
It's going to be a little harder but for all practical purposes, I mean, the thing I tell people in this shop every day is just, you know, aim small. Just look at this river as a tiny check. Don't see everything around you. Mm-hmm. You know, don't look at this, all that. And
put the blinders
daily,
on.
You know, I say to people, I'll tell them, well, you know, what's going on? I said, we're probably casting too far. Yeah. What's too far? I said, 6 feet. that's too far. Just get out and break the water down so it's really small, 10 feet, and especially in a river like this. Or go to the Missouri. And here's this, or the Henry's Fork, and you see this massive expanse of water, and you get lost in it.
Yeah.
Break the thing down to 10 feet and just pretend it's how big it is, and then go to the other places. Don't cast to them necessarily. Look at the water. I mean, how many times you walk down here and watch people just up that river?
I just talked to a guy on the phone today. He said, your river's really dangerous. I walked right into the middle and almost got swept away.
Almost? I went, how the hell are you? It's good that the water's low. How do you get up there? But yeah, that's the kind of it's kind of like when people come in and want to join you because you caught a fish. They think that's the only fish in the river. So they must be where you are.
Right.
And, you know, everything's about that. And yet, I would venture that 70% of our fish are on the inside 5 feet of this river.
Yeah.
I mean, just the holding water's better.
It's where the structure is, yeah.
And so, but even on like the Missouri or the Stone, what you'll see on those rivers, at least what I see, is generally people casting big casts. And they don't break their water down. They don't identify water because it's big. They just hook it.
Yeah.
And that's a huck and hope.
That was my experience. I remember having a day up on the Missouri in the winter, in December maybe. And I ended up catching a ton of rainbows that day. But when I first parked, I walked upstream to get up to the top of the run I wanted to swing. And every 15 feet, it's a wake coming off the bank.
Yeah.
And they knew I was coming. And I'm going, why do I have a spay rod in my hands? It's really hard to fish the inside 2 feet of water with a spay rod. And so I really made an effort to stand on the bank and swing it down as tight as I could into the bank. And I got a ton of fish on the hang right below me. Right. And just, and that's something I think, you know, everybody falls into, but especially the spay cats, is that throw it as far as possible.
That's part of the fun of it.
It is. It is. Yeah. No, it totally is. But I've been focusing on trying to cast less far to actually fish the water where I think it's more likely that they are, not just throw it into the middle
and
hope.
Cast less, hunt more.
Yep.
I think we have a sticker that says that.
We should.
It's just, but that all comes down to the, when I was talking about the guy who was it, Rob, that was
Rob,
getting his ass kicked.
How
do you take the ass kicking?
Swanee.
Oh, is it Swanee?
Yeah.
Eric? You know, when I said get in the water and see what it's, you know, look at a rock and see a hydraulic, you know, when you, great guides and great anglers read water, it is the most important thing of all fishing. Don't care if you're in the ocean. You can't catch fish where fish aren't.
Right.
And it doesn't do you any good. And we do so little on reading water. We don't talk about it. People just say, oh, hit the bucket or hit the seam. But it's a life lesson on, you know, moving waters. It's what haunts us. It's what keeps us going back. And yet people do very little studying the water and including like where you got that big fish in a place that most people wouldn't have fished too, right? That spring creek fish.
In that particular place, it is not wide and it's incredibly shallow almost the entire way.
Mm-hmm.
And this fish, I moved one other in there that same day who was also, I think, a kind of that same caliber class of fish.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in the two places where there could have been a fish like that, in my eyes,
right?
Like where they have a home base that has something over a foot and a half of depth. And you know, those fish can slide around in their
so
zone.
You're reading the water.
I read the water, and there's like a root ball, there's protection, there's...
Yeah. And then you get on a real river, a big one, and we just fail to look for anything.
Microhabitats.
Yeah. And it's all there. That's what I was getting at with Eric's question, was that do something different. Go stand in water and see what it does to you. Mm-hmm. You're not catching anything. You're probably not going. It's probably going to be a shit day, but learn something. And on these big rivers, if people would just sit for a minute. I mean, I talk about Andy Sabota a lot. He's just truly was a really good angler, way ahead of himself. For his time he fished. But his dad was also a great angler, and they're bass guys too.
Mm-hmm.
But Andy would always pull up to the river and just sit there and look at it. He didn't need to learn it, but he was just watching. He's looking for anything that tells you anything, right?
Yeah.
Just like you go out in the ocean with some, you know, with a captain, and they're always looking around, they're looking at the water, something's got to tell them something. In the old days before the, you know, AI told you how to wipe your ass, and now it's like, they were just looking for things, you know. They're like, any telltale, you know, is there a disturbance in the water? Are there birds working at 100 feet, or are they working 20 feet? Are there minnows busting anywhere? You know, all the just basic shit. When a river, we tend to just jump in that thing and start casting.
Mm-hmm.
And we just don't break our water down.
So one,
10 feet.
One of your pieces of advice that
I really liked, and then something I still kind of actively do and take notice of that I think would be a good piece of advice for our average listener who needs to learn more about reading water. When you went in the water and said, get in there, and if it's knocking your knees around, if it's pushing you around, they're probably not there.
Yeah.
If it's knocking you around, it's going to be knocking them around, mm-hmm. and they're not going to want to be there. So then what I took from that is...
Like the when guy I'm, who waded out in the middle didn't drown, but
right.
should have.
But like when I'm crossing rivers, I'm looking for the line that has broken water because it's easier to cross because mm-hmm. it's not nearly as pushy. But then also you get into places like where the top of the water is solid, but then you can feel your feet down there mm-hmm. and they're in really slow dead water, even though your thighs are getting pounded by water. I didn't like how I said that. Yes. but you know, that's a place a fish can sit. Even though it's raging water, there is a lie in there and you can go feel that with your feet. And then, you know, you learn something new about your river.
That was my point. If you're not, walk out and feel what the water's.
Yeah.
Go behind that rock and mm-hmm. just stand there. Or walk up to a cut bank and just see what pressure's in it, what isn't, you know, or anything. But learn every, I mean, if you don't figure, I have probably fished this half mile of water below my house 1,000 times or more.
Yeah.
Every night I walk in there and I'll just like, And I'll walk out to a rock and say, is it pushy? I wonder if it's pushy under that rock or is it here? You know, and I only get 3 fish a night. So I kill a lot of time doing stupid shit. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I don't always catch the 3. I only get to catch 3. That's my rule.
Yeah.
And so I do a lot of just standing... Stuff that I might look at a lot, and I walk out into it, mm-hmm. you know. I'm not trying to catch every fish in the river. And so I walk out, and I'm like, never noticed that was here. You know, figure something out. But I think the number one problem in all of fishing is not learning to read your water. I mean, truly, it's an endless deal, too, because it shifts. One rock moves. Rock the size of your fist moves. All kinds
everything
of shit.
Changes.
Hydrology just starts changing the world, right?
Well, how about, you know, whether you're at a tailwater or a freestone, your water flows change constantly. And I remember that was a big light bulb moment for me when I was watching a steelhead video about this, and I go, you know, it's important to take notes on these things, where you catch fish at what flows, because those runs don't necessarily hold fish at different flows.
Exactly.
They'll move all the time. And, you know, we see that out here when you're fishing it at 2,500.
You should almost be able to just look at it and go, oh.
Yes.
Goner.
Well, and that's, you know, you draw these, you get these data points, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden, if you don't see it at first, then it can help you see it. You know, kind of that change in water and where they are and where they aren't. I'm still figuring it out.
Everybody is. You always get, you know, that's the surprise element.
Yep.
It's like, oh, shit, he came out of there. And usually when I have one of those, it's like, oh, I never fished that.
Right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And then you're really pissed.
Yeah. What have I been doing for 60 years? Yeah. All right, well, let's wrap this episode up. Quick note, fly shows are coming, working on them. I got a couple in the pipeline right now. We're still talking to sponsors and stuff. So they are coming. Super excited about the season. I don't want to lead on anything,
really,
but Kelly actually caught some fish on camera.
Yes.
First time in his life.
Ever.
Yeah. So thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
We didn't do our things.
Oh, yeah. What am I doing?
I don't know.
I feel like I've got brain fog. I've been very slow the last few days.
I've felt that for years. But, what am I pissed at?
Yeah, I totally forgot about that. What do you got behind the desk? Anything? Anything you want to show off?
I have a very cool... Did I show this already, the fly that Swanee sent me? But I have...
I don't think
in
so.
In the thing. These are actual Kerry Stevens ties.
Cool.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
And I've got... I only brought this one over because it's a Glentana. That's a Bob's, actually. That's not one of Kerry's. But I'm going to put more of those up, but I'm having trouble touching them. I realize it's actually Kerry Stevens' fly, so I'm like, gee. So I'm like touching them with like tweezers and shit.
Yeah.
And it's so, but that was, I didn't know if I'd shown that yet. That's a Bob. That's a Bob fly, which is a steelhead guy. But that was, I just not sure I did it. But what about, what am I pissed at? I'm going to tell you.
Oh, God, yeah, we didn't start with that either?
No, we didn't.
Man, but I'm sorry.
I'm not going crazy on it. I think we got duped on the steelhead jerk off.
Yeah, did you hear, I don't know if I even talked to you about this, Scotty Hall texted me saying he thinks this guy was part of a bunch of forums back in the early 2000s, and he would do this. It's called rage bait.
I saw that.
And we got rage bait.
I like the guy that said, don't feed the trolls.
Yes.
And I'm so oblivious. I mean,
Kelly is oblivious to stuff. I'm online enough that
I look you in the eye and you tell me something, you lie to me, I believe you.
Yes.
It's really a bad habit.
And then tell 1,000 people.
Yeah. And I mean, I believe you. Why would people lie, right? Why do you lie? And so I just, and then when you do and you lie and I know it, then I'm just, you know, hang you or whatever. But it's not a, I really think we got duped into it because we never got a response.
Yeah, I mean,
it was so over the top.
It was over the top
that it, but it rage baited you.
That's why it pissed me off.
Yeah,
because it sounded like it could have been some guy who's just.
I think we said that in the beginning too.
Yes, yeah.
And then, but I loved the one guy who wrote in, he says, don't feed the trolls.
Yeah, don't give them any time of day.
Yeah, man, I gave them a lot of thought.
It was entertaining to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Band of the week.
What'd you get?
I asked you.
Oh.
Yeah, you got to go with Billy Strings. I just got back.
No, I did Strings earlier, but I'll give them an honorable mention. I'll go Parcels.
Parcels.
Parcels. I don't know if you'd like Parcels.
Never heard of it.
It's probably the second greatest live performance I've ever seen.
I don't know.
I went with my ex-girlfriend. She was my ex at the time, too. That was a weird one.
Dude, you got to talk to me before you do this shit.
A long time ago.
Who was I listening to? Kenny Wayne Shepherd.
All right.
Yeah, he just kind of came out of nowhere. You know, I got that Spotify thing now.
Oh.
That Mel's loading up all this stuff that I forgot that
I heard you playing music in your car for the first time the other day. We've been on a lot of long road trips.
Well, you had that shit on yours, and I, same one, right? So I got playlists and stuff like that now.
Yep.
Except I don't know how to navigate any of this shit.
We'll teach them.
I'll forget. Yeah. But yeah, that was good. I really enjoyed it. And by the way, whoever the Dead Drift LY guy,
Rob,
tell me what you're doing. Because I'm fast.
Yes.
I would love to find a new way. I watched a guy on Instagram talking about fishing streamers. It was really well done. And he was talking about how he likes to swing them downstream into pools. He likes to go across, but he's getting to the point across, and I should look him up because he was really well spoke. And I'm listening to him, and he says, I like the fly to puff in their face as it goes down.
Yeah.
I thought, that's pretty cool. I'm not sure it can do that because the pressure of the water is always keeping it condensed below it, but if you pulled on it, it could do a little bit. I thought, I don't think I've ever tried that. I'm going to. And I mean, I've tried dropping them back and stuff like that.
I feel like
that,
I've seen it with a slick willy. That's a fly I've screwed around with, kind of dead drifting over, you know, stally current stuff.
He's not stalling. He says he wants it going backwards, which is counter to what I do. I do a lot of downstream flies.
Right.
But it was just, I thought it was pretty fascinating.
Yeah,
the guy, cool. I know, it's counter to what I have taught most of my life, but I was like, I'm going to try that. Because I know, what was his name? I forgot his name. But I know he used to do, drop back. And we used to do that too, you know, where you drop them back and we call it boondogging. And from a boat, you drop it and pump them just like you would lure.
It's like,
and they ate the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And it's, but I find it kind of boring. But I'm still going to, it's one of those things, like right there when we were talking about how do you get out of a slump, try something. It might be your slump buster. It might be, you know, I've only been doing this streamer thing for 20, 30 years, whatever it's been. You get in, you do things the same. And you get, but whatever the guy, he's somewhere around here, young guy, probably 30 maybe, I don't know. But he was just talking about how pumps in his face and, you know, and he drops back and he swings it in and he said, I want it to do the marabou to do that.
Yeah.
He says if they're aggressive, they're going to eat anything anyway. But if they're not, maybe that's their trigger.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Good. It gives me something new to
try.
Yeah. And I'll look it up. Maybe I can get it.
I'm going to go screw around with that. I'm going to go swing a place.
Well, you do that when you swing. You're always pumping and letting
Recently, I've been doing more like true swings just for the kind of cathartic nature of it. But I do... When I'm fishing big flies, when I fish little stuff, I do more just kind of swinging.
Yeah, I'll stretch a lot of undulation.
Yeah, when I fish big stuff, there's a lot of animation, a lot of tail first,
Let's see if I get this guy right away, maybe. If this AI is half what it says it is, it'll do it for me.
It ain't. Here. Finding something you saw on Instagram once is maybe the hardest thing in the world.
Yeah, I was talking about it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's Instagram either. I'm pretty much over Facebook. They can kiss my ass. It's that whole it's shit like of loading up this people. Phone. Like, you know, you guys are saying that I look at too many chicks on there. It's like you can't delete shit fast enough, and it just generates. No. There's nothing you want to
see. Well, if it pops up and you pause on it for a half second, that's all you're going to get.
Half time, I can't do it. I got it halfway through, and I'm pausing back and forth, so I see what I'm like, I've had enough of that shit. Yeah. I think I'm going to tell him to kiss off.
Pound sand, bitches,
because I don't want to see all your crap.
All right, perfect. Thanks for watching.
Thanks for watching. Hope you liked it.
See you next week.